Congratulations, you just finished developing your game. Now the question is, how do you get people to download it? The answer? Marketing. And it will cost you less than you think. Hello, and welcome to 9 ways to market your app without any budget. Marketing isn't just a dollar amount that you can throw into your project to suddenly make it successful. It's something you have to do whether you have money or you don't. But it isn't just something that you can throw money into a pile and suddenly your app is marketed. It's more complicated than that, and there's a lot of things that you can do that cost you zero budget. Now, why am I saying app and this is a game dev show? Because all the advice I give here applies for anything that's going to be distributed over digital distribution channels. Games, apps, they're all kind of in the same boat. I come from a game development background. I'm talking to game developers right now, but I'll interchange the words since for this purposes, they're basically the same thing. So let's start with point number one, app store optimization. You may have heard that buzzword before, and if you haven't, hey, I just taught you something new. This is probably the core principle for marketing your app on a digital distribution marketplace, because no matter what marketplace it's on, you know, whether it is Apple's App Store or Steam or the Windows Store, what they all have in common is a screen with a name, a screenshot or an icon, a description of your app, and on that page, there's a button that somebody can click to download or pay for your app, or they could choose not to. So your presence in that app store needs to be perfect in order for someone to actually download it. You need to pay attention to all the little things. You need to have a really good icon that stands out from the rest. You need to have a really nice description that has great calls to action without being samey or boring or drawn on too long. Your presence in that app store matters. And the reason why that matters is one of the biggest ways you're going to get downloads is your people are going to know about you from an outside source, like a review or a friend telling you. They're either going to randomly search for your app in the store, which is where app store optimization comes in using the right keywords, or they're going to find you on one of the ranks or one of the top download. So how do you get up on the charts? You might be thinking, well, that's a chicken egg problem. I have to get lots of downloads. But the rank is not necessarily just determined by downloads. It could also be a factor of the amount of active installs. It's the amount of people who have the app on their device at any given time, the velocity, the amount of downloads over a certain time period. The ratings could either be the quality of those ratings, like how many 5-star ratings there are, or the quantity of those ratings, how many people actually take their time to review the app. Or uses, just it doesn't do you any good if a bunch of people download it and then never actually open the app versus people who run it every single day. Now, why don't I say words like this may be a factor? Well, I work for Microsoft and they don't tell me how the Windows Store algorithm works. They always want to keep this secret and change it up because they don't want people gaming the system. So as a developer, there's really no other option for you to do other than maximize for all of these vectors that I just listed. You can't just get lots of downloads if people are then going to uninstall the game immediately after. You need to make sure that they enjoy the game, they want to keep playing it, that they're going to rate it and rate it well. And so all of the next points I'm about to give all kind of relate back into this app store optimization piece. So now let's go into the next points and kind of break it down. Point number two. Ask the right users to rate your app. How many people have seen this exact pop-up on whatever app that you're using? I see this all the time. I even see it on some Microsoft stuff. I don't understand why people do this. You know, when you're playing a game in particular, someone's opening up that game because they want to play it. And this presents them a choice, a binary choice. Either A, they get to play the game that you know that they want to play because they just opened the app, or B, not play the game anymore and go rate. So think about the user scenario. I love your game. It's the best game ever. It's the best app ever. I want to keep playing it. I want to keep using it. I just close this window and continue on my day. Now, let's say, this was kind of boring. It's not my cup of tea. I'm not really into this app all that much. Sure, I'll go rate you 3 stars, 1 star. You're just asking for terrible ratings if you put a pop-up like this. You have to put it in the correct spot in your app. So, for example, in my own personal game, Blast Monkeys, or one of my games that I made, my most popular one, I should say, we put this pop-up, this question, on the More Coins page. So think about the user story. I'm playing the game Blast Monkeys. I get through the first world, and I don't have enough coins to reach the next level. All right, I either go back and play more, or I quit, or I hit that Get More Coins button. Now, if I'm not that into the game, I just stop right there. If I'm really into the game and I don't want to wait to go back and play the game more, I want to get to the new content right now because I'm so in love with the game, then I click that Get More Coins page. Then we ask the user, hey, do you want to rate the game? Suddenly we get tons, I'm talking over 150,000 five-star ratings. It's a really important lesson. So speaking of ratings, that kind of goes into point number three. You want to collect feedback. I'm sure all of you know that you need to play test your app, you know, before you actually release it. But I'm talking post-release. You need to have a way for people to contact you directly. Otherwise, if they don't like something in the app, they have a feature suggestion, they have a problem, they're going to rate you in the store sub 5 stars and let you know that way. And your method of being contacted has to be easier than them quitting out of the app and going to whatever store they downloaded it from. Luckily, that's pretty easy to do since you know that they're actually in your app at some point. So the screenshot I have here is from Hockey App's feedback system. There's a lot of different systems you can use. You can even just straight up open a web view or a web page with a simple contact form. Whatever it is, it has to be easy to use for someone to just send off a quick message and feel like they can rant at you. Even if what that rant is, this game is terrible, let them rant to you this way rather than making a review. All right, now point number four, see how this all ties in together. Listen and respond to that feedback. You can't just let it be a black hole, or people are not going to like that, and that rant that they're going to send off is going to turn into a negative review. So over here, it might not be very easily seen, but I have two actual emails of feedback I got from my game. The first one is probably an example of most of the emails you're going to get, which is to say it's literally just gibberish, if you can read that, like J-H-V-O-O-T-T, whatever. People just opened it, sent off a digital message, and hit send. That's okay. You can filter that out. After you go through the hundreds, thousands of messages there might be, you're going to find gems like the one below. This is a user saying, hey, on the space level, I can't always launch out of the cannon. They start talking about a bug that they're experiencing, or at least a problem that they might have. And the trick is that people are not good beta testers, but with the feedback systems, you can kind of make them automatically good beta testers, since we sent along not just whatever message that they typed, but also what platform they were using, what version of the operating system. And suddenly we have a bug report and we can notice, hey, people on this platform or this group or whatever are experiencing this problem. We can go find that, test it, fix it, and make it so everyone else doesn't experience that same problem, simply by someone letting us know how bad our game is or how much we suck. You know, it's great to get great messages and people saying, oh, this game is great, this works out well. That's good for an ego boost. But the negative messages can be even more important because they let you respond to them and fix them and interact with that community. Now, again, this is all tied together. Point number five, don't assume. So many developers I talk to make assumptions about how people use their app. They say, oh, people will go to XYZ first. They will not like this feature because those reasons, and it's all pure conjecture in that person's mind. Or maybe it's in their focus group of 5 people of their family and friends. You know, once you actually get your app on the market, you're going to get hundreds, if not thousands, of downloads. Think about how much work it would take to get thousands of playtesters for your app. Imagine how much pizza you would have to buy and a big convention center you'd have to rent out. But you get that almost automatically being out on the App Store and getting downloads. Don't let a single download go to waste. Learn from that feedback. Analytics is not something that you add after your game is already successful. It's something you add to make your app successful. Track what players do. Hey, how many people go through the first level? How many people get through the fifth level? How many people quit after the first time they die? How many people quit after the first time they reach a challenge or a roadblock or a certain pop-up? If you don't know the exact answer to that question, you don't know anything about your app. People come and ask me, oh, I got X amount of downloads. I guess that doesn't mean much. Well, does it? You know, what if that downloads was 100 people? Okay, that sounds pretty low, but did those 100 people play nonstop for a month, loving your game constantly, or did they quit in the first 30 seconds? There's two different problems there. You don't know if you need that new content or another feature or to go back and fix a bug until you track it. So get analytics in your app. Doesn't matter what analytics system, there's a lot of different options out there. Explore the different ones, find the ones right for you, or write your own if you want to, but just track what your users are doing. Next, going into the app store optimization being everywhere is just get out your app on every single platform you can. There are so many tools out there now for you to develop, such as Unity or GameMaker, where you can relatively easily port to other platforms. And if it makes sense for your app, I'm not saying that, you know, every console shooter needs to be on mobile or every Simple Match 3 mobile game needs to be on PC, but if it makes sense for your app, you should put it on every platform you possibly can and increase your potential audience as wide as possible. The more chances people have to download your app, the more people who are going to like it, rate it, higher you go up through App Store optimization, and likely more profit you get from whatever type of monetization you have. So when you're developing from the start, think about cross-platform from the beginning. When you code, think about different screen sizes. Think about different input types. Hey, can I make this system work with a touch user and a game controller? Oftentimes, a little bit of forethought ahead of time, what you think is specifically a mobile-only game, actually could work fairly well on a console if you just abstract out your thinking and how you're designing out the UI, how you design the controls. A lot of games can be very, very adaptive and relatively little work, especially with all of the tools out there. Now, speaking of expanding your audience, that leads into point number 7, localize. Everyone listening right now, or at least most of the people listening right now, are privileged. You're privileged because you understand what I am saying. You speak English, but English isn't some master language that's the most popular language out there and everyone speaks it. Like, there's a lot of tech out there that's in English. There's a lot of great stuff that's in English. There's a lot of potential audience that is English speaking, but English is a small subset of languages throughout the world. I love this slide. It's a little bit old data. It's from, August 2015 for Windows 10 in particular. This is app downloads by language. And it's, again, probably a little bit too much of an eye chart for this video. But you see that blue spot right there on the top right? That's English speakers. See, all of the other colors that are not that blue spot in the top right, that's every other language in the world. The majority of potential players for your game don't speak English. Localize your game. Think about how much text you're using. Think about how you could reduce that amount of text and make it more clear and intuitive. Go to services to translate. There are many out there that do it probably way cheaper than you think, and there's even services to do it for free. There are websites out there that have common phrases for games and apps that you can copy and paste, like play or, you know, something like that, or health, weapons, whatever kind of standard terms. People have charts out there. You can translate your game very, very easily. Hell, you can even use an automatic translation service. I wouldn't quite recommend that because the translations can be kind of wonky, but something is better than nothing. There is a lot of potential players out there that want content and aren't necessarily interested in it if it's English only. So localize your projects. Next, I want to talk about cross-promotion. promotion. You probably know another developer out there. Partner with them. You know, we work in a really awesome space, especially games in particular. If you think about an app, if I make a spreadsheet app, you're going to have to compete with Excel. Your spreadsheet's got to be better than Excel for me to want to use it. But most apps out there, they're trying to fill a niche. They're trying to do something that other apps don't do. So you're not really competing with most of the other apps out there. And for games in particular, you're never competing with another game. People who like first-person shooters play lots of first-person shooters. People who like MOBAs play lots of different MOBAs. Find other developers out there and cross-promote each other's game. That could be as simple as automatically through an ad network. Many ad networks have cross-promotion or house ads built right in that you can put in as whenever you don't have an ad to fill or just automatically throughout. Or you can even work it into core level of the game. Have an entire world themed to another game and invite characters from one game to come to the other and offer a link to people and say, hey, if you want to know more about this person's adventure, go click this and check them out, and they can promote you back, vice versa. This isn't some trick that small developers use. This is how big studios do it. If you look at some of the major studios out there with lots of different titles, they're always promoting each other in their media and their social channels. It's a great way to get free advertisement that helps both parties. Can't think of other apps out there, and especially other games out there, as competition. They are your friends. Talk with them. Work with them. Lastly, point number 9, never stop developing. The moment your app is going to tank in sales is the moment that you stop updating it. I challenge you, go to the store right now, look at some of your favorite apps, even if they've been out for a while, and look at the last time they've been updated. I bet you it's fairly recently, even if they've been out a while. It shows that the developer is paying attention. It shows, back to the earlier point, that they're listening to feedback and continuing to improve the app. I've talked to many reviewers who've straight up said that if somebody has not updated their app within the last 3 months, clearly they don't care about it. Why should the reviewer? Always be thinking about what more you can add. It doesn't have to be a big update, but it has to show that, hey, you're doing something. Maybe it's a new holiday-themed level, maybe, you know, minor bug fixes. That's okay. Just keep improving the product and show people that, yes, I am developing this. And, you know, that kind of shifts into kind of a broader point that apps are not really a product industry. You can't really make an app and then ship it and then maybe do a 1.1, maybe do a 1.2, and then you're done. The modern app industry kind of works more like a service now. You have to continually put new content out there in order to bring in monetization. If you're done with your app, that's okay. You can, you know, sunset it. You can not worry about it. But if you want to actually make money with your app, you want to actually continue and go up the charts, you have to be constantly developing in public. I put the screenshot here of Minecraft as the example. Think about how long that game has been out there and how constantly they are adding new features and improving the game. You know, if you were a big fan of this game a couple years ago, you log in now and you'd be blown away by how much new content there is. And that's one of the keys to their success and how they're constantly bringing in new people on new platforms. All right, those are the 9 points. Hopefully you found them to be interesting and you can benefit from your projects. I'd love to hear your feedback on them. You can reach me on Twitter very easily, @TobiasZarLez, or you can go to my blog, TobiasZ.com, where I talk about all sorts of game development ideas such as these. Or you can listen to my podcast. I have a podcast called Be Indie Now, where I interview various game developers. I have dozens of episodes already online, so go to bndnow.com and check those out. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.